So opponents shoot 39% when they play the Sacramento Kings. What's that about, guys?
Like, apparently this TSA deal is very good. $70 for 5 years. I might have to look into it.
I just don't travel that much.
I think I might actually need to because a lot of my family is back east, so I think I got to look into that.
Guys. Okay.
Can I, in order to aid Chris here and change the topic back to basketball, can I give a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a hot take, but everybody's talking about how this is a great road trip for the Kings, and it is. They went 5-2. Mm-hmm. They didn't play very good teams. Is all I want to point out. I don't know if you guys have already talked about this. Golden State, currently 22-25. Dallas is a solid one, 27-23. Memphis, not good, 18-32. Indiana, okay, 28-23. Chicago, 23-27. You lost to Miami, who's right around 500, and Cleveland, easily the best team. They got smacked, the Kings, really. And understandable, last game of a 7-game road trip. Cleveland's playing phenomenal recently. I think they'd won like 13-14, but you look at the road trip, like 117.4 offensive rating, 14th in that 7-game span among the NBA. 117.6 defensive rating, 20th in the last 7 games around the league. Minus 0.1 net rating, 17th in the league during that time. Like, did they do anything like amazing? Like, they won games, which is important, but I don't know. It was
to your point. Just kind of piggyback off that. I hadn't really thought about it that way until I look at their expanded standings and their record. The Kings' record this year against teams that are above 500, 13-14. Mm-hmm. Their record against teams that are below 500, 16-6. Whew. And then again, their upcoming schedule, which goes hand in hand with they are still a top five team in strength of schedule. They have a very hard schedule ahead. This upcoming couple of weeks are really going to teach us a lot because after Detroit, which is a game tomorrow, I'm looking at saying, again, must win is a very heavily used term. I'm not going to say it, but you really need to take care of business tomorrow because you have Denver after that, Oklahoma City, Phoenix, Denver, the Spurs at home, a little breather, you think, and then you have the Clippers, Miami, Denver, and Minnesota. Like, there's really two out of the next 11, 12 games.
Which is funny because
they're not horrible.
Right, which is funny because of the trade deadline and where it's positioned. You could come off of this road trip thinking, okay, the Kings are in a great spot. I think Monty McNair knows much more about the ins and outs of basketball than I do, but you could leave feeling good about it, not make a move, and then get smacked back to reality. Mm. Oh, there goes gravity, and be like, we're done. We can't do anything. Now you're looking at guys that have already been released. That's the problem. So we're going to know very quickly if they made the right or wrong decision because of the upcoming schedule.
And it's so immediate. I mean, again, if the Kings do make a move, a multiplayer move on Thursday, they play Denver on Friday.
Right. Exactly.
So, but again, you really never know. We woke up the morning of the Sabonis Halberton trade thing, and there was going to be nothing going on. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, Woj bomb. But I do think that's kind of the hard part about where the deadline is and where this tough part of a schedule is, because if the Kings were to navigate this crazy stretch of games, like just now, if the 7-game road trip was instead against all those opponents and the Kings went, 3-4 during that 7-game stretch against the Denvers, OKC, Phoenix, you'd have a better idea of what holes are, these are teams that the Kings will be playing in a 7-game series.
Right.
These are the holes that we really need to address. They might have to go through the deadline and then find out what those problems are against these
That's
teams.
That's the problem.
Because they're seeing them all at once. They're seeing all of these teams around them. And again, Denver, OKC, Phoenix, Denver again, Minnesota, those are all the teams that are above them in the standings. So it's really going to be kind of an interesting time for them to either work in a new roster if they do make moves, or dig deep and try to make the roster and the guys they have now, the personnel they have now, get you to where you want to be, because the schedule's not slowing down. It's going to get harder, and March gets a little better because the Kings play, I think, 12 or 13 games at home, but it's going to get a lot harder before it gets easier, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like the Kings have kind of been let down by the fact, and it's not fair, but it's how it works, but the Kings really played well in a couple games this road trip, but more so the Chicago loss, like there's the big comeback, and Memphis looked terrible. That game was just not exciting to watch. Like, the Kings got the results, but I think the way in which they got the result didn't do them many favors. Are we possibly overlooking the fact that the Kings did play well on the road trip, just some of those games didn't look as good as maybe what they should have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of tough because really I look at the trip and I'm like, okay, Domas obviously playing ridiculously, racking up numbers. And then the big difference feels like HB getting more shots. Again, averaged 19 points on 49 from the field, 42 from three during that stretch. And it's like, that stands out. Also, the rotation stands out as different. The only guys to play all seven games are your starters, Monk, Mitchell, and Lyles.
That's a good note.
You know, and I feel like those have been kind of the differences. Outside of that, like, from the games, I don't know, it feels like the same team. Like, they've played well, and you have to give them credit because you only can play who's in front of you. I think the home team going on a run after you get up big is going to happen when you're on the road. It's how extensive is that run? When are you able to nip it and shorten it? And I don't think the Kings did a great job of controlling those throughout the course of this, but they won the game. So it's tough. I don't really know what to make of it, but I feel like there's been some slight rotational changes and pecking order changes, but it's really been the same team. I don't know if I have updated thoughts on them. Yeah.
Would you have felt any differently? This is for both of you. Chris and I talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. Would you have felt differently about this road trip and what we're even talking about, Frankie, with that test, right? Because everything that you just explained, the Kings taking care of business against a team that they should and losing to the upper echelon teams, that's basically what a five seed is, and that's exactly what they are. Would either of you have felt differently about the Kings, very simply, if they won last night? To me, last night would have made me feel like, okay, they're really cooking here. That's a top three team, a red hot top three team. And it's just that level that the Kings cannot, that hump they can't get over to be elite this year. Last season was a different story, but this season to where it's, they're about a five seed.
Yeah, I mean, if they would have won last night, it definitely would have had me feeling like very confident about them coming home. Just the fact that they beat the hottest team in the NBA right now. They've won 14 of 15 after last night. They played Cleveland well earlier this year, and I was kind of like having to look back and say, was Cleveland missing anybody? And no, they had everybody. Everybody was playing. Kings really just kind of handled them that whole game. And it doesn't really change much for me just because of the fact that when you look at what goes into a two-week, seven-game trip, I think these guys were trying to get home and get through it. And obviously, they were fighting the whole time. Like, the fight was there. And that's why the final score doesn't really truthfully reflect the effort. I mean, was it a loss? Yeah, a loss is a loss. And I'm not looking for moral wins at this point. The Kings are... We're a year and a half past moral victories. I totally get that. But they just, for somehow, some reason, were within 10 with like 8 minutes left. And it just didn't really feel like that kind of game. And things really got away late in garbage time and the Cavs went on a run. They had a great night from three. But to me, what really will make me feel different or what I think I'm going to learn a lot is this upcoming stretch. I think that when we get to, I'm looking at when the schedule even quote unquote opens up again, it's March 4th against Chicago. They have Chicago, LA, San Antonio, and Houston after that. I want to see where the Kings are after that. How do they get through the stretch against all these teams that they would be hypothetically facing in a seven-game series? If the playoffs started today, I think the Kings will be playing Denver in a seven-game series. And again, that's a team the Kings have they've played them well since last year.
But no thanks.
Yeah, they're the defending champions, and they have that extra gear they can turn to. So I want to see what happens over this upcoming stretch. But the road trip, I feel nothing but positive about a 5-2 road trip.
I think you just never know what team's going to show up when it comes to the Kings. And maybe that has to do with a little bit of De'Aaron being the head of the snake and kind of being the same thing. You know, he has some inconsistencies for sure, but team's 14th in offense, 17th in defense, dead smack middle, 15th in net rating. And it's just like, I don't know what on any given night shots are going to fall or they're not. That's fine. You know, that's part of it. But defensively, I have no clue what Kings team we're going to get any given night.
There's a question in the chat. I would love to get your guys' opinions on it real quick because
the one to you.
I was going to
say the same thing.
I don't have a clear answer about why Alex Len has not been in the rotation. And I do feel like there wasn't really, I mean, again, no one's asked. There hasn't really been any questions asked about why Alex has fallen out. I think Mike likes to just try out different things. Again, JaVale McGee played in the first half last night and didn't play again after that, which we see a lot. There's a lot of JaVale McGee playing early and then Trey Lyles closing out games, but
which says something,
by the way. But why not Alex Len, who has been such a good screener and a good rebounder, and he brings a physical presence in the paint, and I just feel like he is a better fit with that second unit. I'm not sure if you guys have any ideas why, but, I mean, that's something hopefully we can learn more this week or when we're around the team more, but It is a head scratcher why the Kings went away from him when they relied on him so heavily at the end of last year into the playoffs and at the beginning of his year when he came back from the ankle injury, and then all of a sudden, nothing. So I'm not sure what the reason is. I'm not sure if you guys had any ideas either, but it doesn't really make sense to me.
No ideas, no. I would just assume it's the same plan as last year for whatever. I can't give you a good answer, but if I had to assume, I would just say they did this with Alex last year. It wouldn't surprise me if they do it again with him this year, that, you know, maybe for whatever reason, they're just holding him in the garage until the last week of the season, because everything I've seen from Alex Len has not been terrible. It definitely has not been worthy of being benched, and there's definitely been some moments with JaVale where it's just like, I don't understand. Like, I would get if maybe there's not another option to go to, but Mike Brown just seems like he really prefers JaVale, and I think it might just be as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, JaVale has a lot of good moments. He has a lot of, like, uniqueness about him that he provides. That, like, lob threat for being as big as he is, as long and, like, mobile is valuable for sure. And I think that he does deter shots. Like, guys see him down there and think twice, or will maybe just kind of gnash around the basket rather than going up. And even just the raw, like, guys will just not attempt sometimes when JaVale is there. I kind of think both those are true for Alex, too, outside of the lob threat, though. Like, you can play that pick-and-roll game. Anybody want to guess? Alex Len has the highest net rating on the team this year. It's not even close. Trey Lyles is at 6. What do we think Alex Len is at? He's played, how many minutes do we got here total?
So what we're saying is Alex Len is the secret weapon.
Right.
That the Kings are having well, like last
so
year.
Secret. I would say not so secret. Not so secret. Year. Like, we've seen it. That's the difference. To me, that's the problem with what I don't understand about this year versus last year. Is last year, you could say, I mean, yeah, we tried everything. And then the last week of the season, we said, you know, we haven't tried everything. Let's try Alex. This year, they tried Alex from pretty much the start of the year. I didn't see much problem with it. It just seems like he went away. To answer your question, I would say plus 40.
20.6 net rating.
What?
20.6 net rating.
So is that like 100 and
that's
120?
That's on average.
What are the
122.7 offensive rating and 102.2 defensive rating.
Even on the back-to-backs, the Kings, they didn't see him. So I'm just, you know, maybe we see more of him at this, actually not really a homestand, just two-game mini homestand, maybe they see him. They do tend to lean on him against Jokic. I feel like that might be a matchup we see Alex Len, because they even started him, I think, when...
Hey, you haven't played in 5-6 games. Here's Jokic.
2-time MVP.
Here you go.
For you.
That was like when they threw out Sasha in Philly. Nationally televised game, hasn't played in how long. Yeah. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, one more segment with the Sactown Sports Kings Insiders. Continue to get your questions and comments in, and we will answer and react to them. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Live and local. This is Sactown Sports.
From the 916, using a 5-game road trip where you played a bunch of garbage teams as a justification to not make a move at the deadline is so Kang.
Did he say we said that?
Oh, okay. Just using a 5-2 road trip where you played a bunch of garbage teams as a justification not to make a move at the deadline is so Kang.
I don't think that's a reason why they wouldn't make a move.
No, I don't think it impacts the front office, but I think I said this last week that, like, I think the only two ways that you'd be, like, forced into making a move are if you've lost the locker room, which I think going on a win streak like this helps, if that was even, like, a risk, which it didn't seem like it was, or pressure from ownership. And this could make it a little easier to not have pressure from ownership, if that existed previously, don't know. It would make it easier to justify it to your ownership. So if anything, I think that it, like, helps their external pressures, they being the front office.
I'm just worried because the Kings could look like they have egg on their faces so quickly. So quick, within this month, just based on the teams that they have to face, and maybe that this will bring them together. I don't know.
Well, if they survive this stretch, but by survive, I mean don't go on a, you know, 9-10 game losing streak. I mean, if they can split even their next 10 games, I'd look at that as a win, being nine games over.
Yeah, we said 4-4, maybe 5-3 over these next 8.
Yeah, then I think you're in a really good spot. Like, your schedule gets significantly easier, you know, for, as far as a matchup standpoint. You know, anything can happen any given night. We have learned that by now. There are no true easy wins, but your schedule opens up. You don't have to, I'm pretty sure you do not have to face Phoenix again after this upcoming stretch. Denver, I believe, is done as well. Oklahoma City, I think they're done with as well after this upcoming stretch, after Super Bowl Sunday. So, I mean, to go back to that, though, I don't think that the road trip had any indication whether or not the Kings would or would not have made a move. I mean, maybe a 7-game losing streak, we're talking about something drastic, sure. But, I mean, they just had a great road trip. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Going on a 7-game, 2-week road trip is – season-long road trip is grueling. It's lengthy. It can wear you down. Kings came out of it 5-2. Chemistry seems intact. They're going to come home and have to evaluate what the roster needs to look like going into the deadline. But, I mean, again, it's a matter of the whole NBA market. Like, there's not any trades happening at all right now. Maybe things change and they happen. Things start flooding in Thursday. But, you know, I think it's more than a Kings thing.
Yeah, I'm just looking here just for fun, if you want to call it that. In April... April 4th and April 5th, a back-to-back at Knicks, at Celtics.
No.
I can't worry about that yet. I can't worry about it.
Yeah, and then 11th and 12th, home, Pelicans, and you were wrong, Frankie, Pelicans.
Ooh, I'm warm.
And then the Suns again, back-to-back.
That's right. They played them 5 times this year because of the that added-in game because of the play-in.
That's right.
So,
and those are that's the 5-6-7, Kings, Suns, Pelicans. And you don't want to be a playing team.
I was going to say, is there any concern? I'm looking here, just heading into the All-Star break, the Kings could potentially be on a 4-game losing streak, or at least just playing 4 really tough opponents. You have 2 games against Denver. You have the home game against Denver, at OKC, at Phoenix, at Denver, and then you head into the All-Star break. Is there a chance, to Alan's point about the Kings possibly not wasting time to look like they have egg on their face, is there any concern that heading into the All-Star break, if you do start to slide some games and you're sitting at a 7 seed, like, I mean, I guess at that point there is nothing you can do because you're past the trade deadline, but is that a concern at all, or is that just something where you might just have to wear that and understand that, you know, regardless you're going to have to perform in the second half of the remainder of the season anyway?
They're not dropping 4.
I don't think so either.
Denver,
but like,
2 games against Denver, at OKC, at Phoenix.
No, but
those are all very losable games.
No, but I would say, does it still look bad if they lose, if they drop? I could see them dropping 3.
Sure.
1-3.
If that happens, I mean, at least you're going to the break to kind of regroup and reassess. Right. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, there's no one's going to come through that door. I mean, there's a buyout market. Like, you want to get Chris Paul in the buyout market.
But then you're a 7 seed talking about trying to buy somebody out.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be concerning. I mean, there's no way to slice it. If you lose 4 games in a row, I don't really think it matters who the opponents are. It's going to be concerning. For a team like the Kings, who's supposed to be mentioned, or they want to be mentioned in the same breath as these teams that are, you know, that they're going to face, like Oklahoma City, Denver, Phoenix, those teams you want to be in the same group as, you got to take care of business. And a 4-game losing streak would be concerning for sure. But at that point, it is what it is. No one's going to come in through that door, help out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have too much more outside of that. Like, I think that you really just want to try and avoid the play-in is, I feel like, going to be the conversation that we're going to have for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Is try to not be in the play-in. And as we get closer, it's like, okay,
that's when we can worry about April.
Right. Some matchups or things like that we'll start to be able to figure out a little bit better, but just stay out of the play-in. And if they're going to look, they're an aggressive team. They're in rumors for everybody. And some of that is probably them getting used as leverage because everybody knows that they're buyers and things like that. But the front office is going to try to find something that will work them closer to an eventual championship rather than, like, how do we improve this season and this season alone? So if they don't make anything, it won't be for a lack of trying. And if you drop 4, then it is what it is, really, to me. Like, that's not a, oh, my gosh.
You don't think
it
makes them look
something.
Worse?
It makes you look worse. I don't think they care, though.
Yeah. They know that's a possibility,
essentially. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I hope
don't like how happen. I feel leaving this conversation.
Yeah, why are you so negative?
No, I just...
Why? Don't look at me.
I will say...
Chris said drop four. I said they'll get one.
I will say the Clippers game, I think I was calling you negative. I'm like, I'm being so negative. And the Kings got rolled by, I think, like 30 or something that night.
So, to flip it the other way, if they won three of those games and didn't make a move...
Talking,
are they justified?
Yes.
Is that the way to put it in your mind?
I don't think so. I would say yes. Because that would...
I don't think so.
That would be them doing something that they haven't done before, Chris.
What's that? Huh.
They have not beat elite teams in any stretch.
Like consecutively?
Yes. Not since the beginning of the season. I'm not counting the Thunder Cavs because it was too early.
No, you're right. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule here. And
every opportunity they've had, they've tricked off.
I think that, not to be like dramatic, I do think that we are going to learn over the next 10 games who the Sacramento Kings are. I think that it's fair to say. We're going to learn who the Sacramento Kings are. Because again, I'm looking, and you're right, I'm looking at the schedule, and there are some good wins in here. Like, they beat Dallas twice. I mean, they were missing Kyrie one time, but like the Golden State-Dallas game, I mean, Golden State isn't a good team. Like, their record's not good, but they still have the guys that have been a complete thorn in Sacramento's side.
Yeah.
And the fact they picked that win up and they won that game, I think it's kind of telling to where hopefully that rivalry word is not used heavily, I know, but where that, what people want to be a rivalry or a team that played each other a lot, whatever, De'Aaron Fox, how he put it, that's a good sign that you beat Dallas. But yeah, I think that this upcoming stretch is not something we've seen them play before. Even back to like last year, I can't remember a stretch where it was just like a gauntlet of contender after contender after contender. So I'm definitely intrigued to see what happens.
There you go. All right, guys, any thoughts for us before we leave for Vegas?
No, okay, so different basketball question. Instead of taking it to flights for your guys' sake.
you're going to.
No, I appreciate that.
Chris keeps giving me evil stares.
How much better is this team if they trade for, let's say, Royce O'Neal? And say that you move, like, I'm just throwing out a hypothetical here, like Chris Duarte, a guy that's not playing right now, and you get a 7th, 8th guy. Is this team, how much better is this team?
I could feel more confident that they'll get to the second round.
That's how I feel.
But they're still going to get bounced in the second round.
A little bit better. I think you're taking a little step forward with a move like that. Yeah. I mean, I think that if you were to make, like, if you could bring in DeLon Wright and Royce O'Neal to kind of just bolster that bench, like, I feel like that would be a pretty good couple of moves there. Like, that won't cost much. Like, that's Duarte, maybe Davion, maybe future seconds. I mean, there are moves that can be made that are, like, for fringe, like,
Thibault.
I know it's not the sexiest moves you can make. It's just like, Thibault will be great. I think he has the right to...
Yeah, he has a no-trade clause.
Because of the restricted... Yeah. He picked up the player or the one-year deal, I think. But that would be like a dream scenario. I think like Matisse Thibault on this Kings team would be great. But
I would just wonder what would be the point. Like, what? Because then you're kind of saying, okay, Royce O'Neal to me feels like a deal to get better for this year. But I don't know if Royce O'Neal's making you better next year or 2 years down the line. And so it's kind of living in two timelines, but neither timeline is that great. Like, I don't know what the point of that would be. I think if you're trying to get to the second round, well, then you can be a little bit more aggressive than Royce. I don't know what the long-term benefit would be if this team has already established that we don't really care about this season at that point.
Well, they do care about the season, and I think that, like, the process we talked about before about how, like, just all the things that would be beneficial for this team getting to the second round, how much that help in the future. So, like, say that 1 year stopgap half season of Royce O'Neal, Thibault, whatever, DeLon Wright, like, helps you get to the second round, even if those guys don't come back. That's still beneficial in the long run.
For sure.
And it gives you the opportunity to, like, do we like this guy? Do we want to keep him around eventually? So, like,
but if you end up losing in the first round, then it becomes a...
It didn't really do anything. Yeah, as long as it didn't cost you
anything. You shuffled the deck just to shuffle.
Right.
Quick question before we go. Just trying to remember, was Dante DiVincenzo a restricted free agent going into that offseason that the Kings...
I don't remember if it was restricted.
Didn't they?
It was restricted.
Did they, like,
was,
renounce his restricted rights and let him...
Yeah.
Maybe would have been nice to kind of go back.
Yeah, Dante DiVincenzo's, like, perfect for this team right
maybe
now.
Maybe do
and
that
so
one
so is
over.
Bogdanovich.
We talked about both of those situations the other day.
Yeah.
It's all good. I was a big Dante guy.
Might have wanted to retain Dante on a restricted contract.
Well, you know, maybe they should have started him down the stretch of the or down the end of the season.
I don't know. Justin Holiday, man.
Yeah, Justin Holiday. Unforgettable Kings career.
That was all to, I mean, what we thought was diminished value and make it so they could afford to keep his contract. Yeah. Oh, did you write about that?
Yeah, I definitely did.
Wow,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Well, it was true.
Dante's agents were very unhappy that he was not starting, and they thought that it was messing with his eventual value as he's going into his first big contract.
And now look what he's doing in New York.
Yep.
So,
all right, guys. Thanks so much. We got to get to a break. Thank you for listening to our Kings Roundtable. Be sure to catch Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli on their socials and also at SacktownSports.com. We'll be right back with some prop talk and maybe a dog segment because we might not get to it tomorrow. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Thank you to our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. This is from the 916. Will you be talking about the A's, Oakland A's breaking news, or since Chris doesn't like baseball, you aren't going to touch it?
Wow.
Is that a reference to the mayor? The Vegas mayor?
I asked Chris, is there more breaking news? I was going to say to the 916, you can check it out. It's already potted. We spoke about that during the 11 o'clock hour, hour number two. So that should be up. But of course we talk.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There are people that like baseball way less than Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm right here.
It's kind of a bit, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of like me and like the height thing. It's just kind of a bit, right?
Yeah,
it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real. We just kind of play it up.
Exactly.
That's all it is, right?
We just play it up.
That's exactly what it is.
Or in some cases, play it down.
Okay. So, yes. Ouch. Check the Sacktown Sports app, SacktownSports.com, or anywhere you listen to good and great podcasts. And during the 11 o'clock hours where we discuss the mayor of Las Vegas saying that the A's should do everything in their power to stay in Oakland, then essentially acting like she's walking it back in a statement, but not actually walking it back, really just saying it in a more, I guess, a more precise manner.
Yes.
And that's what happens when you hop on these podcasts, things get said.
If I could just plug our show, too, like
I would hope so.
Everything is on YouTube if you want to go back and rewatch it. The second hour is when we talked about that. iTunes, any podcast place, it's all up there. So if you want it, they're posted right now.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, I checked.
Apple Podcasts, whatever it is.
Yeah,
sorry.
I've checked. It's all there. This is from the 916. Sorry, he said he hates no hitters.
I did say that.
Really? I'll listen. Thanks. Shout out to the 916.
You did, yeah.
That means this is a throwback listener because you said that a while ago.
Yes.
So shout out to the 916. Thank you for being a loyal listener.
Yes,
let's get to another loyal listener on the call line on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get to TC, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Styles, Watkins, what's going on?
What up,
man,
TC?
Man, just living. What you got for us?
I already know, man. Y'all be safe on that trip, man. Y'all going to Vegas, y'all be safe on that, man.
Appreciate
it. Thank you.
For sure. This is, hey, look, so I got a 2 point. So let's keep the Niners quick, and then I'm going to jump Kings. Niners, this is all on Shanahan. This is not on Brock Purdy. This ain't on the defense. This ain't on nothing, bro. This dude has to get in his bag. He was opening up yesterday, filling himself off the drink, being honest and truthful about all the situation that was going on. Okay, well, you being truthful like that, brother, let's go win the game then.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to keep that same energy with that playbook since you want to open up and be super honest about everything. Also, the Kings, we lost the game last night. It had me living. I'm still sweating and mad about the situation. When Domas got stripped last night by Strus, and then just watch Strus walk out to the three-point line when we were in the middle of a run to come back and win the game.
Complained to the ref, too.
Bro, he complained to the ref and turned and looked at him. He shrugged his shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I'm not going to jump out there. I said, are you serious? Bro, you should have heard how loud I yelled in my house last night. That play. Just the whole game we was fighting, that play, though, Chris Styles and Watkins, I'm still living, bro. I don't understand that play. Can you please explain it? That's all I got.
No, I mean, that's no. There's no justification for it. You're right. I honestly did completely forget about that play. You're right to be upset by it, especially from Domantas Sabonis. Like, that's a guy who the Kings are going to look at to bring 100% effort on every play. And, you know, not playing defense because you personally are the reason why the ball was turned over, that's bad teammate 101. And, you know, I'm not saying Domas is overall a bad teammate, but in that moment, mm-hmm. you have to be better than that. You can't just completely leave Max Strus to TC's point, who was on fire.
Yeah, he was not missing.
Absolutely in fuego. You can't just leave him to prove some bigger point, and especially not when you need every single possession you can get in a game like that.
Yeah, it's just what it is. Yep. Strus again, 6-for-10 from 3-point range. I don't even remember his 4 misses.
I definitely don't.
They must have been in the first half because it did not seem like he missed anything in the second half. And like we talk about, you get that conversation, you get that confidence going, and you know that's just how things kind of roll. We are going over our prop talk from yesterday, real quick, what TC had to say about Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, I think a lot of it, as we joked about whether he was enjoying himself prior to it, he was really open. He was really candid yesterday. I think a lot of people enjoyed that.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, though, you do have to get it done.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's why I think the Niners do feel really good about this game. They're doing a lot of talking, right? I think real quick.
What? Hold on. What do you mean a lot of talk? Like the Bosa holding stuff? Like what are you talking about?
Yeah, the Bosa holding stuff, right? Not. I shouldn't say a lot, but
it's not like taunting. It's not.
No,
like,
no. I would say that the Chiefs are being more
arrogant,
boring.
Boring?
No, okay. I think the Chiefs are saying all the right things. They get asked about the Niners. They show the Niners all the respect.
I keep seeing like the boos and Travis Kelce being like, keep booing me.
What is he supposed to say?
No, I'm serious. That's what I thought you were trying to say.
But you know what, though? I can't decide if I like it or not, or if I think it's corny, cool, or corny. Here's another one for you. The fact that these guys, the Niners, and I get it, they're really close, but they really didn't break character as far as some of the press conferences, and what we're going to get opportunity to talk to a lot of these guys in Vegas. But Debo being asked, like Brock was actually the realest one to some degree. Brock was asked, if you were making a fantasy team, who would you pick? Brock said, I would take all of our skill players and I would take Josh Allen as my QB. Brock said that last night. Yeah. So I think there were probably some Niners content creators saying, Brock doesn't know ball. He should pick himself. He should pick himself. But I was going to say was with Debo was asked for his top 5 wide receivers, and he names all of the Niners wide receivers. And I'm just thinking, can you just answer the question? Maybe that's just me. At some point, can we just have conversations now?
Well, if he says the other ones, then it's the same way, you know, it's like, oh,
he left Debo's, somebody out.
Yeah, you know, and.
Well, he did. He left off. Somebody joked, said, where's really? Ronnie Bell?
Yeah.
He didn't name Ronnie Bell.
It's just a no-win scenario.
There was another one, too, where the person only picked. Now, and I get it. Maybe they're just trying to show us all how close they are.
Sure.
But it would be interesting to know what you think. And that's not really Debo's bag. That's not what he does. But at some point, I'm just, all right.
I think the best thing you could do at Media Day is do nothing. To me, like, again.
So you like what Debo did?
I wouldn't say I prefer it, right? But I wouldn't say I prefer that. Like, of course, I would love hilarious answers and things that we can joke and make fun of and play on air. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're, you know, I would much rather have Debo say that than what Charvarius Ward said, because I think that, you know, you want to be boring. You don't want to give any sort of bulletin board material. You don't want to distract. You don't want to create a headline that then people ask you about the entire week, because this is the week where every single question that can be asked will be asked. I think that it's calculated to be boring.
Yeah, he also got, not spicy, but he also, somebody from the Philadelphia Inquirer asked about the Eagles, and Debo said, this is done.
Yes.
Debo said, we're not talking about that anymore.
Good. I think he said that rivalries are close games.
Yes, that's what he said.
Neither game has been close. So it's
right.
Like,
so this is done with. All right, for prop talk, you know, I guess we can go over our props. I broke even with Keegan Murray. He had two, and it was set at two.
Yeah, what's up with that? I don't like that. It's a half.
I don't either. I would have got hooked then. I would have got hooked because there wouldn't have been 1.5. Trey Lyles, Chris, you hit. He had 7.
Barely.
Hey, you're surviving.
I guess. Yeah.
Nate, you did not hit.
Close, though. I was playing on hard mode. I had De'Aaron Fox 3.5 threes, and he ended up making 3. So my streak has ended, and that's fine. I'm here to play.
Yeah.
There you go.
You got close enough to where you still got to believe there's a little magic.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm not actually putting finances towards
this. No chicken on it. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, crossover, crosstalk with the Drive Guys. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Whitey Gleason joins us for some crosstalk.
Crosstalk. Boom, boom. Got a feud ready if you need one.
Do I need one?
Let's do it for the road. One for the road.
Come on.
Chris
sure,
is ready.
Let's
do
I'm
it.
Ready.
Let's
I'm
do
born
it.
I saw Drapes in the building too, so he should be showing up. So he can mediate this or something.
Let's do it.
I saw him.
Huh? Let's do it.
The feud.
Fire it up.
Let's do it.
All right.
Fire it up.
The last episode of the feud before Chris and Alan head to Las Vegas, Nevada.
And during the break, Whitey was telling us how much he wishes he was going instead of us.
No, you guys had a meeting. I felt bad. I went in there, and it wasn't my meeting. And I went and I said, hey, you know, and I realized when I left, those guys probably just wanted to get out of that meeting. So my apologies.
Whitey, I haven't eaten in 6 hours.
I know. I've been in those meetings.
One thing you guys should Whitey's think about so doing, I'm like, Whitey, I'm so hungry right now.
Whitey, I don't know. You came in there. You had some pretty good jokes, and that's
stuff.
What I'm here for.
Great stuff.
You gave me some ideas and had some one-liners that were good.
Yeah, I
appreciate it.
Hey, guys, when you interview someone, ask good questions.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
That's a radio veteran.
We did, Whitey, we did think about what about asking them if they have any good impressions or secret talents to kind of end some of the interviews. What do you think about that?
It's risky, because what if you got somebody and they go, nope.
Well, then we just let them, end of the interview.
Yeah.
End of the interview.
Uh-huh. Wait, Whitey, do you have any?
I have too many.
Too many.
Oh, okay. All right.
He doesn't honestly have enough. Too many.
We don't have enough time.
Can you do a Steve Harvey for the Family Feud?
Nope.
Okay. The other guy who kisses all the girls? What was his name?
Richard Dawson?
Yes.
Nope.
We can't do it.
All right.
As he did it to say his name, Richard Dawson? No, don't have that.
8 teams on the board, okay?
Okay.
So, you know, he shouts your name to buzz in here. Can you name the team that's been to the Super Bowl the most times without ever winning a Super Bowl?
Oh, my gosh.
No, Alan.
Chris. Alan. Yeah.
The Bills.
Bills tied for the number one answer?
Yeah, they sure are tied.
4.
They sure are tied, aren't they, Whitey?
Surprised that Chris didn't get that.
They're really tied, aren't
but
they?
But you have the board, Alan. You can pass or play.
I'm going to pass.
Pass to Chris Watkins.
Yeah.
So 7 teams left here. Yeah. Basically, every team that went to a Super Bowl and never won one is on the list.
Not a single win in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, not a single win.
Yeah. Nope. Most appearances without ever winning.
Well, I know who's up there, so I'm going to hold on to that one for a while.
I thought you'd want to get it out of the way.
No, I think we're just going to keep that one holstered. Can I see the Carolina Panthers?
Panthers.
At least twice.
Yeah, they're 0-2 nice. Super Bowl play. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good job,
Chris. I got to think of teams. See, like, the Jaguars haven't even made the Super Bowl.
Right.
So it's
not a relatively new franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Ravens are too, but they've won before. Let's go
twice
with, that's true as well, Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
One of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen.
Really?
They lost to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals 0-1.
Come on. Come on. Oh, wow. Okay, so 0-1 gets in the list.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that kind of opens things up.
Five teams left. No strikes against you.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Ellen Stiles, you think maybe he's starting to second-guess his own strategy here? Like, probably.
No whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
Yeah, this is really tough. I'm starting to think, and I'm drawing some blanks. You already said the Bills. I'm running out of time. Let's say Titans.
Tennessee Titans lost one of the great Super Bowls to the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Okay.
Titans.
Wasn't sure if they had
slash
won.
Oilers slash.
Yes.
Yeah, 0-1.
Right.
Yep. Yes, only. Yep.
So then the Texans wouldn't be involved with the Houston Oilers, correct? That's a history question.
That's two totally different franchises.
Okay, okay.
I'm not saying
anybody's
on there or not,
that's
two
a good enough answer.
Different franchises.
That is a good enough answer.
So you got three more?
I have three more and no strikes on me,
you
correct?
Four left.
Four left,
yes.
And three strikes.
Halfway
remaining.
Home.
Halfway home.
And he's got one in the hip pocket.
I got one in the
one
chamber.
In the chamber,
let
chamber
me,
baby.
Let me tell
one
you,
in
that,
the
thing
chamber.
Is, that thing is holstered and ready
burning
to go.
Burning a purple hole.
It sure is. I don't think. Oof.
By the way, if he misses one, Allen has an automatic now.
Well, I mean, it depends if I leave that one on the board for him. We'll go with, it's just really, you know I like to look at logos, and so this is really tough for me to not have any sort of source material in front of me.
You see them in your mind's eye.
I'm trying. I'm really, really trying. Going division by division. Let's go with the Cincinnati Bengals.
0-3 in Super Bowl play. Lost to the Rams and the Niners twice.
Take that, Boomer.
Come on.
That may have been Allen's answer that he had.
Yeah. Can we go, can we stay in the North? I'm not entirely sure. How about the Browns?
Browns have never been to
never
a Super
been?
Bowl,
okay.
So
that's good.
A
that was a good run, though. That was
good.
A good run.
Good run. Good run. Thanks, Nate. Thanks. I like this support that I'm getting here. It feels great. It feels super.
Did you wish you have a protest or something there?
Yeah,
no.
It just seems really upset. Right.
Yeah,
over
you
there
do
in that
seem
corner.
A little mad, but
a little
it's okay.
Perturbed, if you will.
No,
it was your choice. You did this. Let's see here.
Three teams left on the board. Looking for teams that have been to the Super Bowl but have never won the Super Bowl. We got Buffalo, Cincinnati. We got Carolina. We got the Cardinals, and we've got the Titans. So three teams left. Only one strike against.
Strip the Band-Aid
Allen,
off. Let's go Minnesota.
On?
Minnesota Vikings.
I just keep seeing Allen's hands.
Allen is
like questioning,
really,
and I'm like,
me
what,
for a loop
what's,
right
what's
now.
The issue?
Also, 0-4.
Yeah,
I don't know if you knew that, Chris.
No, you just didn't have to
I
say
didn't
that.
Know they went four times.
Okay. Well,
they lost
it was
see.
All in the 60s.
Raiders.
Okay, let's
Dolphins.
Let's relax, okay?
Yeah. Of course, the most painful one is the time they never got there.
Just, let's not, okay? Guys.
Vikings lost to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
An early Super Bowl.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Chiefs.
You've only got two teams left.
Yeah.
But you do have one strike against
you. Yeah, we're starting to get to some thin area here where I'm starting to lose track of the teams.
I wish I could give hints, dude.
Man.
Wish I could, but
are hints allowed?
No, they
Allen
aren't. They just aren't. They aren't. Yeah. They just aren't. I'm going to I feel like I need to hurry up here.
You got to the way you think. You got to think categories. You got to go like divisional. You got to go
I'm
maybe
going divisional.
Bird
I'm
teams,
trying
blue
to go
teams.
Divisional. I'm staying divisional.
It's your producer.
I don't have a team
answer,
in
though.
Mind. I know.
Yeah, we
got to
give
right,
something.
But I need to say something to restart the clock. It's incorrect, but I'm just going to say the Commanders.
Commanders, right, no, they've actually Williams. They've Washington have won
yes,
Super Bowl.
Yes,
so strike two
up,
against you.
All
right,
one more strike.
Yeah,
two teams left on the board.
This is going to be me when we land today.
Dude, this is so hard
good
for me.
Answer,
why
good
is
answer.
This tough? New York Jets.
New York Jets actually
won. Oh, my God. Wait, no, the early ones.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Strike
early,
three.
Early.
And you're out, and it's over
Super
to Allen Styles of Chiefs.
So cool.
What are the names that have been said?
Eight teams on the board. Can you name the team that's been to the Super Bowl the most times but has never won a Super Bowl? We have Buffalo. We have Minnesota. We have Cincinnati. We have Carolina, we have Arizona, and we have the Titans. So if you can name one of the other two teams on the board, you win. If not, Chris is your winner.
I can think of teams. I'm going to look at logos now.
All right. Just trying to think. I had a team.
You had a lot of time to think. I
the
got
text
a,
line.
I'm not looking at
take
the text
a glance
line.
At the text line, huh?
It's not up there.
Oh, man.
I just typed in logos.
Okay. All right. I'm going through.
Yeah, take some time.
Yeah.
What was
you guys have a show tomorrow? Oh,
what was said already?
I just Buffalo, Minnesota, Cincinnati.
I see one of the teams.
Carolina, Cardinals, and the Titans.
Okay.
Let's go, Alan.
Oh, come on, Alan. Come on. There's a lot of time here.
No, I'm giving you some.
All right.
I'm hyping you up.
All right. So
he doesn't
you
want
have
it. Mad, yeah. He doesn't want it.
You have the. Okay, you have
those
teams.
I know one
teams.
Of them.
Uh-huh.
You have those teams that one are there.
I got to start a clock here
yeah,
at some
what?
Point.
No,
I
no.
To.
I mean.
Are you having a hard time thinking of teams?
No, honestly, Ted.
It's tough.
Nine.
All right. Wait, hold on. I'm close. Hold on.
Five.
Oh, my
hold
goodness.
On. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Two.
All right. No, 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 no.
Answer.
No, no.
That's so much time.
You had.
I got to strike him out. I'm
wait,
sorry.
Did you say.
Just say a team right now.
Did you say. Oh. Did you say
I can't do it. You strike him out. I'm sorry.
Hey, can I steal?
Can he sure. yes,
can I
ahead.
Just guess? Is it yeah. the Falcons?
Can I look at
the Atlanta Falcons? Oh,
no,
two.
Was,
yeah.
yeah. Yeah. No, I was going to say Falcons.
You didn't say Falcons.
Oh,
I was
going to
say
God.
Falcons.
What?
No, I was going to say the Falcons.
No.
I was going to say Falcons.
Say it.
Cut this kid's
you
mic.
You didn't say it.
I was
going to
say Falcons.
Say
I asked anything. If they said it.
What?
I said
have
the
to
Falcons.
Give the decision,
come on.
I think.
What are we talking about?
I said the Falcons.
Cut his mic. What are we talking about?
I have to give the decision
come
to
on.
Mr. Watkins.
Come on.
Controversial.
Come I'm getting on a plane.
You're
you
on
were
4K. Going to
say, what's the other team then? We have, there's one more?
Who did the 49ers beat?
Oh. Everyone. Oh, Miami.
Chargers.
No, Chargers.
Chargers. That's
Chargers
probably
the other team.
I literally, okay. yeah. this is 2 days in a row.
They beat
right.
Miami, too.
We're out of here.
Right? Crazy.
Yeah, but Miami
yo,
won.
I got to deal with this the next 3 days.
Oh, the undefeated
so we're
team.
We're
out of
here.
Right.
All right, to end 3-3 has been really great.
Have fun
great.
Tomorrow.
And,
yeah.
All right, thank you,
I was
going to
say
never play.
That.
I was going to say that, and I was going to say Troy Aikman.
I can't believe.
This is ridiculous.
It's 2 days in a row.
Both of you playing mind games. It's 3-1, 3-1.
I'm in Vegas.
It's 3-1. We'll see you tomorrow in Vegas. Woo! Drive, guys, up next. Whitey Gleason Caldrick.